is trying everything he can to get rid of David. And I don't mean just get rid of him in the sense of moving him off somewhere. He wants him dead. And he has devoted himself, literally devoted himself to that cause or to that purpose. And we're going to pick up tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 23. When we left off in the previous chapter, David was in the land of Judah. His family and some men had come to him and were staying with him, about 400 men altogether, it said. Word had got to Saul about him hiding out. And also, word got to Saul about how the priest Ahimelech had given David some food and also a weapon, and how he'd inquired of the Lord for him. Of course, Saul was enraged about this. He calls together all of Ahimelech's family. And end of the story, long story short, a fella by the name of Doeg, one of Saul's servants, winds up killing 85 people with the sword that were connected with Ahimelech the priest. And then we saw that Ahimelech had one son that did escape from this. His name was Abiathar. He went to where David was, and David told him, you see there in 1 Samuel 22, 23, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. So he gets Abiathar to stay with him for his own safety, because obviously Saul wanted him dead now, just like he wanted David dead. So we pick up in chapter 23, verse number 1. It says, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. It says, then they told David. I'm not exactly sure who that they is. They's always saying something. But here somebody has got word to David, come to David, whatever the case might be, and let him know that the Philistines had attacked a place called Keilah. And the Philistines were robbing the threshing floors, it says. The threshing floors, that's where they took care of their grain and their wheat, where they would winnow the wheat, as the Bible talks about, and they would thresh the wheat. They would thresh it, they'd beat it, and then they would winnow it. They would throw it up in the air and kind of let the wind, as it blew through, blow away the husk, the stuff that wasn't any good, and then the good grain would fall back to the ground. But this is where they kept their grain, and their grain meant a lot to them. It was their livelihood. If they didn't have grain, then these people did without a lot of food. So this is very important. And the Philistines are robbing these threshing floors, taking their food supply. So verse number 2, we see how David reacts to the news that he gets. The Bible says, therefore David inquired of the Lord. That means David talked this thing over with the Lord. And he sought the Lord's counsel. He wanted to know what God wanted him to do with this information that he had received. Did the Lord want him to stay put where he was and not get involved? Did the Lord want him to go and to help the people in the city of Keilah as they were attacked by the Philistines? What did God want? That's what he's trying to find out here. He's inquiring to find out the will and the mind of God. That is always, 100% of the time, the right move to make. It's always important that we seek the Lord in prayer to get his direction, to find out his will. And I'm not necessarily talking about praying about something that the Bible clearly states is the will of God. Like, for example, the Bible tells us it's the will of God that we give thanks in everything. Well, I don't need to pray a prayer like, well, the Lord, do you want me to give thanks? You know, that doesn't make any sense, okay? Because God's word has already revealed his will with regards to that. I'm talking about things that come up in life, situations that we face, things we have to deal with. There's no clear-cut scripture necessarily that addresses the situation. Maybe we find out something about somebody, about a situation, whatever, but we have something come up. The best thing to do, the right thing to do before we make a move one way or the other is to talk that thing over with the Lord. to inquire of God and see if we can get His mind and His will. It may be that the Lord would direct you to a passage of Scripture that would answer your question, that would help you to know how you need to respond. Maybe there's not a verse in there that says, thou shalt such and such, such and such, but He might lead you to a passage that teaches you a biblical principle about how to handle the type of situation you're dealing with. God can very definitely, y'all believe God can direct you through His Word and show you what His will is about something? I have no doubt about it. And it's always best that we seek the Lord and find out what God would have us do. Somebody comes along and they tell you something like these people told David. Well, just knowing what I know about David from what we've already read, him being the man of war that he had become and being brave and courageous and loving his people like he did, I have no doubt that when he got word that the Philistines had attacked Keilah, that he wanted to get involved in that. I don't believe he wanted to take a passive attitude and just sit back and let those Philistines come in and steal from these people and kill these people and take over that city. That just wasn't how David worked. I mean, he showed up down there on the battlefield just to check on his brothers, and he heard Goliath making those threats and giving that challenge, and he stepped right up to the plate, I'm talking right away, and he said, hey, I will go down there, and I'll fight this champion of the Philistines. David had already had a lot of run-ins with the Philistines, so just knowing what I know, reading what I read, David wanted to get involved. Here's the thing, just because we might want to get involved in a situation doesn't mean that God wants us to get involved in that situation. It may be that the Lord would have us to not be involved at all, just to keep quiet, keep our nose out of it, not do anything. Or it might be that He does. How do you determine that? How do you determine? You don't just rush into it based on how you feel or the desire that you have. How many of you know your feelings will lead you astray sometimes? Well, you don't just rush into something because you how you feel and don't take this attitude, well, I'm just going to go by my heart, do what my heart tells me. Well, the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things, so you don't need to be following your heart. And to be going by your feelings, you need to talk it over with God. You need to ask the Lord, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to do anything? Do you want me to get involved or do you not want me to get involved? How do you want me to respond to what I have heard? And that's what David did. He inquired of the Lord before he made one step, before he made one move. He didn't do anything without talking it over with the Lord. And I think that's very important. Somebody gives you some news about something. Somebody says, okay, this, this, this. And then they tell you, this is what I think you need to do. Boom, boom, boom. And what are you going to do? You're just going to take their advice? You're just going to say, okay, that's what you think, then that's what I'm going to do. I think the better thing to do is say, well, I appreciate you telling me that. I appreciate your insight, your input into it. But now I'm going to go home and I'm going to spend some time talking to God about this situation. I'm going to ask the Lord what He wants me to do. That's the right way to handle it. Inquire of the Lord. See what God tells you, how He directs you. He may lead you to do exactly what that person counseled you to do, or He may send you in a completely different direction. But the main thing is that you get His mind, His will, and you do what God wants you to do, not what you want to do, not what some other person counsels you to do. You get God's will on that thing, and you do it. So David inquires of God. This is what he says. Shall I go and smite these Philistines? You can just sense when I read it, I just sense the aggression in David. He doesn't say, Lord, should I go down there and fight with them? He says, should I go down there and smite them? David didn't have no intention of going down there and losing. Okay. His mindset wasn't a losing mindset. It wasn't this passive thing, and he wasn't taking the approach, Lord, do you want me to go down there and get... No, he just wanted to find out, Lord, do you want me to go down there and whoop up on these Philistines? Because if you do, I'll do that. I'll be glad to go down there and take care of them people. But he asked the Lord, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Listen, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You ask the Lord. You trust him. God, what do I need to do? This is what I want to do. You might as well be honest with the Lord because he knows your heart, doesn't he? He knows what you want to do. Just go ahead and be honest with the Lord. Say, Lord, this is what I want to do. I want to do this, but is that what you want me to do? So David says, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So the Lord gives him a green light. You don't sense any fear in David about this? No apprehension. He's ready. He's ready to rally the troops he's got and go down there and take care of business, as he had done on numerous other occasions. Verse 3, and David's men said unto him, David had talked it over with the Lord, and God had told David what to do. But at this point, his men were not as confident as David was. Because this is what the men said unto him. Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. They were in the land of Judah where they were at. They said, look, we're scared where we are. Why were they scared where they were at? Well, Saul's after them, trying to kill them. So they're saying, David, look, we scared enough. Just right here where we are, we afraid. And now you want us to go get in the middle of a battle fighting against somebody? How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And look, we're scared here. We're really, really going to be scared if we go down there and get in this battle with these Philistines. So what does David do? Because he's getting a little, can you see it here? He's getting a little resistance from his people. He's done talked the thing over God. The Lord's told him what to do. But then when he went to talk it over with the people, the men didn't share that same aggression, that same confidence, that eagerness to go and get in this conflict. So David goes back to the Lord. He's wanting to talk that thing over the Lord and be sure he didn't misunderstand what God had told him the first time. And sometimes you have to do that. I know I've done it. And it's not that I don't trust the Lord. It's just that I question myself a lot of times. I want to be sure that I really was clear on what God said. Because I know that I could be deceived about something. And I know that I could think that I understood what God told me, but I might be wrong because I'm a human being. And you have to factor a whole lot of things into the equation, like your feelings and your emotions and what it is that you really want to do in that situation. And sometimes that can cloud things up and make it a little bit difficult to be clear on what God has said. So maybe you have to go back and talk the thing over with the Lord. I don't think, maybe you might disagree. I don't think David going back to the Lord and inquiring is a lack of faith on his part. I feel like David was ready. He's still ready to go. But since the men were not as eager, he's wanting to be sure that he understood what the Lord wanted from him. So it says in verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. He tells him the same thing. The orders don't change. He says, I want you to go down there. And he promises him victory. He says, I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. He's been told that by the Lord. Really, that's all that we should need in any situation. Just getting a clear word from God. That should calm our fears. It should give us peace of mind. It should give us comfort. And our heart and our soul, just getting that clear word from God, knowing that the Lord has given us direction, that he's given us promise, that should be what we need and all that we need to carry us through whatever the situation might be. So David, verse 5, and his men, evidently the men came around to David's way of thinking. They followed him. I feel like a lot of these men, probably all these people, trusted David. They had seen what kind of fellow he was. And if he came back to them and said, look, this is what God wants us to do, they evidently believed David. They trusted him enough that they would put their lives in his hands and follow him down here. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. God did what he said he was going to do. When David did what God told him to do, God did what he told David he was going to do. You see how that thing worked out? He talked over with God. God said, this is what I want you to do. When David did that, then God did what he said. God makes promises in the Bible. This is what I'll do for you. Some of those promises, a lot of those promises, in fact, are dependent upon us doing what God has told us to do. If we're willing to do our part, which as I've told you before, sometimes we take an attitude or approach that God ought to do these things here regardless of how we act. But that's not exactly how it is with a lot of the promises in the Bible. Many of those promises are conditional promises. They're conditional in the sense that God will do what he promised he would do if we do what he has told us to do. If we obey him in faith, then the Lord will do what he said. And so when David did what God told him, then God did what he said he was going to do. He delivered them into his hand. The inhabitants of this city were saved, and they get the spoils of war. They brought away their cattle, the Bible says, and they smote them with a great slaughter. So they killed a whole bunch of Philistines. A whole bunch of them died here. And this is just a small army of men, you understand. About 400 men. It says in the previous chapter, now it's grown some, evidently, because when you get on down in this chapter, you see there were about 600, so it's grown a little bit. But still, that's not a real big army of people that he's fighting with. It says in verse 6, and it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. So this Abiathar must have not gone down to the battle. He must have stayed in safeguard where he was, according to chapter 22, verse 23. But once the battle's over, he comes down. And he comes down with an ephod in his hand. An ephod is a garment that the priest wore. As they carried out the different responsibilities there in the temple, they would often wear it whenever they were inquiring of God about things, when they were trying to seek God's will about things. And he brings this ephod in his hand. Verse 7 says, and it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into thine hand, into mine hand. This is Saul talking. Saul says, God's on my side. God's going to help me murder an innocent man. I mean, basically, that's what he's saying, right? And he doesn't see it that way, but... But look, David hadn't done anything wrong. Saul's the one that's out of his mind, acting like a crazy man, trying to murder someone that had done nothing but be faithful to him all the time he had been his servant. You see how warped and messed up a person can get in their mind when they're going away from the will of God and not really trying to have a right relationship with the Lord. You can get to where you do some crazy thinking about things. Folks, y'all be surprised some of the stuff I've heard through the years. Some things people have told me. You know, I've heard of people getting in an adulterous affair, both people involved married and getting in an adulterous affair, and them look me in the eyes and say, God meant for us to be together. You ever heard that stuff? I'm serious, aren't I? I've had them tell me. Look me in the eyes, tell me, I just believe God brought us together. I'm going to tell you what brought you together. You dirty, rotten, low-down, sorry flesh brought you together. That's what brought you together. God didn't bring you together. Because this Bible still says, thou shalt not commit adultery, okay? But when you get to living apart from the Bible and you get out of fellowship with God, your mind gets messed up. And you start excusing things that you would have never excused when you were in a right relationship with the Lord. And you start saying that certain things are right, and you actually begin to bring God into it and say, God led me to do this or God led me to do that. And you're talking about something that God clearly condemns in his word. I've heard people tell me before, just get to dating somebody. Well, I just know God brought us together. And the person they're dating's not saved. What does the Bible say? Y'all tell me. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Isn't that what it says? Now listen to me. Because God can work all things together for good, I know sometimes relationships like that have gotten started and went on. The people got together, got married, and then that person that was lost wound up getting saved, and it all worked together for good, okay? God can do that because he's that kind of God. He's able to do it. But that still doesn't mean it was right. Just because something works out right in the end does not mean it was right in the beginning. You hearing what I'm saying? But people will say, I just know God put us together. Well, not according to the Bible, he didn't. Now, you can argue with God all you want, but, you know, the Bible is spoken and the Bible's not going to change. All right, we can try to change it to fit what we want, which is what most people do. We twist the Bible around, try to make it say what we want it to say so that it fits in with the life we've chosen to live or the choices we've decided to make. That's how people operate. And they try to bring God in on it and say that God is the one that has brought all this about. That's what Saul's doing right here. Saul said God hath delivered him into mine hand. God didn't do any such a thing. He didn't do any such a thing. That's what he's thinking. Matter of fact, and we're going to get to this a little bit later on, but look down at verse 14, this same chapter. Look at the very last part of verse 14. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Saul said, God delivered him into my hand. Well, I don't reckon he did. And he's after him every day. But God protected David every day. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, when you wonder sometimes why we hear certain things on television coming out of the mouths of these people that are on TV and some of these politicians that stand and say some of the things that they say and just people we talk to at work, why they say some of the weird, crazy, off-the-wall stuff that they say. And just as soon as they say it, it strikes a chord inside of us because we've read enough Bible and studied enough Bible that we know, that ain't right. That's not in line with the Word of God. We wonder, how in the world can they say that? I'm telling you, when you get your mind off of God, when you step away from the Bible, when you get out of fellowship with the Lord, there is no limit to what the devil and the world and the flesh can do to your way of thinking. There's no limit to it. And you'll wind up saying things that you never dreamed you would say, doing things you never dreamed you would do, and blame God for all of it. Say, the Lord led me to do this, when in fact it was just your flesh or the devil or the world. But anyway, verse 7, and it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. That's going to be Keilah, city with a wall around it. A lot of these cities had them, not all of them, but a lot of them did. And they had gates, big gates with bars in there. And apparently, Saul is thinking, look, they're inside there. We can go in. We can close them off in there. And we'll have them. Verse 8. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now, I'm going to be a man of my word right here. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to preach any longer. I'm going to let y'all go a little earlier tonight. We'll pick up in verse number 9 the next time we study. Do you have any questions about what we looked at here in the chapter?